It is my prayer that this evening you will be encouraged, that you will enjoy the company of the other women in our church, that you'll consider ways that you can be involved in spurring one another on in love and good deeds, so that we can look back and see how God has taught us and changed us and made us more like him. To start off this evening, we're going to have a brief look at Titus 2 and what we can learn from this part of the Bible. It speaks directly to us as women, and I think it's going to be helpful for us to hear what it has to say. So please listen as Andrea reads that to us.
You must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to too much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. Teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them, and not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Saviour attractive. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These, then, are the things you should teach, encourage and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you.
Thanks, Andrea. Well, briefly, in this part of the Bible, Paul is writing to Titus, obviously, who's on the island of Crete, and he's been left there to straighten out the logistics of the early church and to help work out how the people can relate to one another and support one another in their faith. He's to appoint elders, which you can read about in chapter 1, and he consistently talks about the importance of teaching sound doctrine, the truth of the gospel, in line with what Jesus taught, and promoting godliness. You may be tempted in this passage to glean over the parts that aren't specifically aimed at the category that you think you fall into. We're all older or younger women, and so we can think that we can forget about the rest. However, before we do focus on the specific verses written for women, I'd like us to briefly consider that if we're going to live as a church family in community with one another, aiming to present one another perfect in Christ, then how are we going at encouraging the people who fall into the other sections at fulfilling their roles in this picture? For example, when we are taught sound doctrine, do we listen? Do we adhere to what we're taught? Do we allow ourselves to be changed and moulded by the Word of God? Do we give time and consideration to the older men amongst us? Maybe you're married to one of them. Do you provide the opportunity for them to be respected, to love, to be sound in faith? Maybe it's a simple case of keeping your mouth shut, or just making it easy for them to get to Bible study. Or if you're younger, allow them to have a hold of your baby. Encourage your children to say hello in a polite way. Are our eyes open beyond ourselves to see the other people that make up our church family? And are there ways we can encourage them to live in obedience to God's word? Similarly with younger men, Do we look down on their generation and steer clear or disrespect their youth? If you're married to one, are you helping them to be self-controlled in every aspect of life? Or do you aggravate or cause volatile situations to occur? And again, with slaves or maybe our employers, do we choose to submit to them? To not say things against them? Are we trustworthy and an advocate for Jesus in all circumstances? I think it's worth thinking through our attitudes towards the family that God has given us to live in, serve alongside, and love at all costs. Now to women specifically. Once again, please don't think, well, I'm under 25 or 30, so I'm young. This next bit doesn't apply to me. But consider the fact that we're all older or younger than someone, either in age or in Christian maturity. And so someone who might be older than you in age might actually be younger than you in Christian maturity, and you could teach one another amazing things. So this passage speaks to all of us in whatever circumstance we're in. So first of all, ladies, be reverent in the way that you live. Reverent. God-fearers, not people-pleasers. Always conscious of God's eyes upon us. Not slanderers, and I think this is a big one for women. How easily we get caught up in bringing others down. Well, it makes us look good, and it makes us feel pretty good too, doesn't it? We must not demean the reputation of others. It's just not godly. Perhaps a good rule for all of us is don't say or type anything about anyone that you wouldn't say to the person face to face. Don't be addicted to much wine. It's just not a good look. And it's one sure way of taking away your reverence in the blink of an eye, and no doubt your respect and credibility as well. I've been to a couple of conferences recently, and it's interesting that this warning was only given to the women in this passage. Even though the young men are told to be self-controlled, and this does come under self-control, this was directed to the women. Today, statistics show that the biggest group of people in society with alcohol abuse problems is young women and girls. Teenage girls aged 17 years of age having 5 or 6 alcoholic drinks per day has increased from 17% in 2002 to 32% in 2008. That's almost doubled in 6 years, and we're now 5 years further down the track from then. Alcohol addiction in 20 to 39-year-old women has also increased significantly in the last decade. I don't think this is written here in black and white for no reason. Therefore, or as it says in the passage, but teach what is good. Know your sound doctrine and be willing to share it so that you can train those who are chronologically and or spiritually younger than you. As I said, everyone is older or younger than someone. And this kind of urging and training requires a relationship between the different groups of women in our church family. Be willing to take an interest in those women who are at a different age and stage to you. Be open to seeing a need and fulfilling it. More mature, experienced ladies, please don't come in and look down on those younger, less experienced women and tut at what you may consider to be a lack of parenting skills or an inability to discipline or an inability to rightfully respect their husbands or whatever shortfall you may perceive rightly or wrongly. Please model the right behaviour. Be the reverent example to those younger than you. And then please be willing to come alongside them. Don't stand back in judgment. Get to know them. Take an interest in them, warts and all, and open up an opportunity to share your knowledge, experience, and advice in a non-judgmental, nurturing way. Much easier said than done. Younger women, listen. Be willing to step out of your common ground demographic and show a longing and a desire to learn from those who have been there before and can share their experience and the wisdom that comes from that experience over time. Be willing to ask advice. What did you do when you were my age? How did you deal with a child who did this? They might even know more than the internet. Ask the tough questions and be willing to maybe grow and change some of your attitudes. Your response to those women will give those who actually are more experienced the confidence to also go out of their comfort zones to love and care for you. Please don't underestimate the wisdom of experience. And older ladies, please don't be condescending, but respectful and willing to learn and consider new things yourself. It takes a step from both directions. Once the hurdle of the correct attitude towards one another has been jumped, the specific guidelines of what we can learn from one another are outlined in verses 4 and 5. I'm just going to quickly go through each of those now. Firstly, love your husbands, for those who are married. And you might think that this is an obvious one and a natural thing, but there are times when this can be really hard work. Maybe you could give some advice on how to overcome difficulties or how to help your man feel respected and step up to lead your family. Then how to love your children, which also you would think would come naturally, but there are some days. Ask about wisdom, boundaries, discipline, different parenting styles, the importance of consistency, showing patience and love when the well is dried up. Be self-controlled, pure, busy at home, and kind. Self-control, something that all of us need to really work at, something we need to model to one another. Purity, keep your heart and your mind pure. And I think this is an active decision. You see, over time, as we become complacent, things become normal that were often previously unacceptable. The shows and movies we watch. If Jesus was sitting there, would you flick the channel onto that station? The things we say or type. The attitudes we have. The things we're willing to accept. Be busy at home, not lazy, but fruitful and productive. And this can be a way that we can love and care for our families by serving them and fulfilling our God-given privilege and role in the home. Society does not see this as important, but if you're married, then check out Proverbs 31 if you want to see what God considers a wife of noble character to be. Be kind. Again, this does not come naturally because we are all so selfish. And once again, kindness needs to be a conscious decision, something that is modelled and shared amongst us all. Finally, be subject to or submit to your husbands, voluntarily choosing to live under the man you have married. How? Well, it's a whole attitude of life that begins with the heart, like Jackie was saying. It's so much deeper than just looking obedient and relating well in public. It's a heartfelt desire to come under his leadership in a respectful and honouring way. You are his champion, so choose not to be embittered by petty frustrations. Choose not to try to control him to get your own way. But be content and support him to lead your family in godliness and love. Why? So that the Christian life is an attractive way of life to those who observe, and so that the word of God is not misrepresented by our sinful actions and attitudes. Verses 11 to 15 hold this whole passage together. It clearly outlines the truth of the gospel and reminds us why it is so important to adhere to this advice and live godly lives. Let me reread it to you. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men and women. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These then are the things you should teach. Encourage and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. It is my hope and prayer that as you think through some of the things that we've looked at in this passage, that your active role in women's ministry this year might be to build a relationship with someone from our church family, someone that you can love, nurture, teach, and encourage in God's grace, and that in return, you may also be loved, nurtured, taught, and encouraged, so that we may all present one another perfect in Christ.